Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm John Ramos, and joining me today in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, and Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. Don't forget that we are two programs back to back. We have so much to discuss.
You okay?
Yeah.
Well, I actually, you know.
Yes.
We've talked about just the
the
coolness that Pat just exudes with that.
This is true.
The grin. I mean, I love just the joy.
He is a man of style.
I've learned new things about Pat today.
Really? What did you learn? What?
Not only is he cool, but the very clothes brand.
Oh yeah,
is the cool brand.
Oh, you didn't know that?
I did not know this. Oh, I learned this today.
This is Mr. Cool, bro.
Today.
Oh yeah,
everything about him is just—he's that cool.
There's a cool brand.
We saw it on your shirt. We can make that available for our viewers. I mean, we understand that's how you roll. That's your swagger. We get it. But and we understand you may even have a swagger wagon, and we'll have that for you today in today's program. You don't want to miss the swagger wagon. Yeah, there is a swagger wagon. But
yeah,
Pat does. Pat has his own swag, if you've noticed.
He just maintains the cool.
Yeah, he does. I think he'll get you after this.
I'm sure.
We're going to be discussing in today's program a couple of things. One of the things we want to share about a diner. Believe this or not, a diner gives a discount to in North Carolina to someone who prays over their meal. We're going to talk about that.
All right.
Because I like that. I like those type of discounts, and I like people praying. And, you know, don't forget we are Monday through Friday on the Gulf Coast, Christian Television Network, 5 to 6 p.m. But also, if you miss any of our programs, you can always catch us 24/7 by going to VFNTV.com. And we have all many ways that you can connect to us, podcasts, apps, you name it. You can even subscribe to the Torch newsletter. Do so today, VFNTV.com. We're also going to be talking about today's program. Don't worry about the nine, celebrate the one. So many times people focus, I think, on all the different things that are fires and all the horrible things that are happening at their feet, and they fail to recognize the tremendous blessings that are right in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all part of the enemy's distraction, is to get us to focus on the nine things that are going around that are not so good, that it robs us of appreciating, celebrating, and praising God for even that one thing, that's happening good in our life. And let me tell you, we need to find those things to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
We need to find those things to enjoy and not let the enemy rob them from you. So we will be talking about that as well. I know Steve is going to be sharing with us today. But in our previous program, we were talking about rediscovering God in America. Interesting little book here written by Newt Gingrich. And we recommend that, pick it up. Take a look at it for yourself. But he gives us two things. A perspective of God in our country that has been omitted from many history books, just basically omitted. And he just starts talking to us about how the founding fathers understood that, hey, these rights come from God, they don't come from the state, and what their thoughts were, and how you could see God, you know, basically woven into the fabric of, you know, what was happening during that time. And they were recognizing, listen, we got to, if our nation is going to survive, we got to honor God. I mean, George Washington took the oath of office. When he took the oath of office, had the Bible turn to Deuteronomy 28, which is the chapter on blessing and curses.
Mm-hmm.
And after he was sworn in, he said, and he kissed the Bible. He kissed the Bible.
Wow.
And to me, that is absolutely beautiful. But New takes us on a walking tour of the monuments and the memorials. And we were talking about the National Archives. That was our first stop in our first program. But we want to show you a picture of what the National Archive. Do we have that for you? Okay, we will have that for you on the torch. And you can see the National Archive. You can see the Ten Commandments that were engraved there, which is beautiful, pointing to, you know, the lawgiver Moses, you know, and how our laws derive from the Ten Commandments. You will also see where that we hold the Constitution. I mean, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. Now, they told me, I'm a little concerned about that, because when I went to Philadelphia, and I went to Constitution Hall, I was there. In the gift shop, I picked up a scroll, and they told me that it was the Declaration of Independence. It had the red little, you know, ribbon and everything, and it's parchment. I mean, you roll that thing, and it stays nice, and you can pull it out, and that thing will spring back really good. It's in my office. And I thought that I had, you know, close to an original.
Hmm.
And it was a couple bucks, but I mean...
You mean only $3 you can get the Declaration of Independence?
I have a copy.
But I have a copy.
How do you have a copy?
I don't know.
Did you know? Is yours printed off of the computer?
I have a little red ribbon, too.
Well, we need to authenticate that, because...
We need to verify that. I think I have one, too.
We need to verify that. Is it parchment?
Yes, it is.
And does your scroll, and mine, I pull it out?
Rolls out. Rolls right back up.
Does it say Declaration of Independence?
Yes, it does.
Okay. And you sure those are real signatures on the bottom of that?
Real thing.
Hmm. Amazing. Well, we're going to investigate that more. But that's an amazing document. 27 reasons why we said we were declaring the independence from Great Britain, and specifically King George, because he had some funny ideas. About about connecting God with the state and saying, not right.
Mm-hmm.
And these men risked their lives, they risked their fortunes, and it's a good thing that we honor that. It's a good thing that we celebrate that, because, you know, if we don't look at our history and know how we got here, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, we mm-hmm. can lose a whole lot. So we want to encourage you, get these. They're going to be linked together. It's a series. We're going to be going together through this. And it's going to be an enjoyable time, I believe, because I think we're going to get some insight maybe that we didn't have at all. I'm already learning, and I think, man, this is pretty cool, because this is a great country, and what a shame. What a shame to lose it, right? We don't have to lose it. We can get our priorities right. We can make God's values our priorities, and we can turn our hearts back to God. We, again, can be a city on a hill that is sharing the gospel with the nations of the world. And I have great hope for America. I have great hope for America. I want to talk about this diner, Steve, in North Carolina. This is amazing. A couple goes out to North Carolina, I believe, and their waitress saw them praying. The waitress saw them praying, and they say they've never seen that happen before in their diner. And I believe the Christian I guess they didn't see it. They caught them in the act of prayer. And when they looked at their bill, we're going to have this for you, the picture of this. It says a discount. They got a discount, and they asked what the discount was for. It's written in the inside of their receipt. It says, for praying in public. For praying in public.
Wait, they saw the waitress praying?
No, the waitress
saw them praying.
Them praying.
Wow. Pay attention, man.
Okay.
This is VFN TV. And they saw, they were praying. I mean, how amazing is that? How beautiful is that? They're praying in public for their food. I encourage you, you're in a restaurant, you don't have to stand up and, you know, pray loud. But, you know, I like to pray anywhere I'm at. And I love praying, you know, together for our food. We have the kids do it. In fact, I think we have a picture of this receipt. Do we have that? Can we make that available?
I think we can do that.
All right. There it is. There it is.
Look at that.
You see the discount? Praying in
15%.
Public. 15%. Wow.
Praying in public discount. I love it.
Don't you love it? And it's just so cool. You know, that's so cool that there's a value, you know, in praying. And you know, something happens when you see that. You know, we pray in public, and I take the kids, we got to eat. And then sometimes I'll notice there's another family over there praying. Mm-hmm. And there's something encouraging when other people see other people pray and say, man, you know, I need to thank God. I need to thank God for everything. And even your food. I mean, 98%, 2% of the population produces food for the other 98% in America. And oftentimes that's something that we take for granted here. But we've learned, you know, recently of people that are starving. I mean, we've known this, but you just get deeper revelation of really, I mean, the tragedy of simple food, what we take for granted, and you can go to any convenience store, you can go to any, you know, supermarket on any corner, I mean, they have super Walmarts, and just the list goes on and on, and you can get, I would dare say, what, 75% of the stuff that is inside these supermarkets are, like, non-essentials. You know, do you really need the Cocoa Puffs and the double stuff? And if you took out the non-essentials, I mean, you'd probably be, like, a little, you know, convenience store, and you get all your groceries and walk out. Mm-hmm. But most of the stuff in there is just, like, I don't know, fluff, entertainment, feel-good food, and people...
Comfort food.
Comfort food, and people in this world are starving. And it's just cool that we just honor God for everything. Even the, it's just, we just humble ourselves and say, God, you know, even though I know I just walked in and just picked this up and just threw a dollar down and picked up a hamburger or whatever, I want to honor you. I want to say thank you and for blessing me, for blessing my family, and that we have food in our bellies. I believe a third of the world goes to bed with their stomach growling. And we shouldn't take that for granted. So pray. Pray often. Pray for your food. And pray for others. More we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Sometimes it's tempting to ignore the holidays just to avoid the stress that comes with them. I'm John Fuller with the Focus on the Family Minute. If you're a parent, you need to consider what Pastor Tommy Nelson remembers about his childhood and holidays.
One of the things that I am most grateful for growing up is my mother made my home a magic place. There was such love, there was such happiness in my home that Christmas was magic. Easter was magic. Thanksgiving was magic. Pulling a tooth was magic in my home. And it was a big deal to try to catch her sticking that quarter under there. And I believed in the tooth fairy till I was 22, I think, 23.
Well, the holidays can be stressful for parents, but they also provide happy times that bind our children to our family and later on create fond memories that can draw home a prodigal teen. A reminder from Focus on the Family.
We'll give a big shout out to all of our television network out there. We're just very thankful for you and encourage everyone to think about supporting local Christian television. And one way you can do that with VFN TV and the Daily Radio program is visit our sponsors. Visit our sponsors and, you know, shop with them, encourage them, and become a partner, because that's the way we help make it all happen.
That's right.
That's actually how it happens. And we're thankful for all those that are standing with us today and become a sponsor. I mean, think about this. Of all the things that you could be doing as borders are being overpoured by the sea of humanity, as leaders are going to play golf and do fundraisers, as the church is, they're trying to minimize, hide the cross, hide statues of Jesus, pull prayer out of schools, mess marriage, all these different things. I mean, I think it's bad. I mean, I enjoy the Bass Pro Shop. I mean, I really do. And, hey, if you want to become a sponsor, you know, you can. But understand this. This is where you need to put your dollar under the eyes of God. This is what the Word of God says. He says, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, seeking someone whose heart is dependent upon him. And right now, understand, 24-7 VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, we're putting it out there. We are putting it out there. Nobody is putting it out there in the context of what we're doing. And God's speaking. I mean, we're having dreams and visions, and we're actually sharing other prophetic words and dreams and visions. But who's doing that? And we don't apologize for it.
Nope.
We're thankful for it. We want to know what God has to say. And we'll allow God to interpret that to you. And we even, not only that, we even make it available to you continually by going to VFNTV.com. If you saw a program or missed a program, or you want to share a program, or you want to go deeper into a program, it's all right there. It doesn't go away. It's right there on VFNTV.com. And when you go there, you'll actually see sponsors that are standing with us. Visit them. Click on those banners. Say thank you. Send them an email. Or become one.
But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death. Let me tell you something. Dying outside of knowing Jesus Christ, you will live in agony. Jesus calls it where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't care how many Bibles you have. I don't care how many empty, powerless buildings you build. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm telling you, and there's so much religion now, it makes you want to puke. It's like, where's the electricity here? Where's the power? He freed him from the agony of death. And if Jesus was under the agony of death, you don't think when you die outside of making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life that you won't suffer weeping and gnashing of teeth, the agony of death forever? I'll never forget this South African minister who died in a car accident. He went to hell. Reinhard Bonnke talks about it, and they have a video of him. And you know what he saw in the fire? It's going to shock you. You know what he saw in the fires of hell? Preachers! And you know what they were saying? Give the money back, right? Give the money back!
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. And I think that we were able to locate for you the cool brand that Pat has, and we may be able to make this available for you even on this program. So we are working together with the engineers and making sure that this happens.
I think we can make this happen.
But before we do that, did you hear about the young boy and his dad that were just tearing it up? I mean, the father's playing the guitar and he has his little boy. This boy can't be older than 2 years old. And he's singing, "Don't Let Me Down." I don't know. I can't even make out the words. Mm-hmm. But the boy is throwing down. I want you to watch this and enjoy this. I mean, because this is good. Don't let him down. Man, he is tearing it up. I think of Isaac when I think about him just jamming over there. Right? Wow, so cute, man. Don't let him down, Pat. We're going to make this available for you so you can share it. But I saw that. I said, man, look at this young boy go. Steve, talk to us. I know you had a biting moment. What's the Lord saying, man?
Well, yeah, I really had to just take a time and just kind of listen to. There's so many things that's been talked about. Right now in America, a lot of things in the headlines, and everyone, I just keep hearing about, like, the economy, you know, about, like, money and investing and just the things that are being talked about. And I just really had to just begin to just listen. And when you look back over time about the great dynasties, the nations, the empires, a lot of times that people would connect, like, the power of a dynasty, a power of a nation, in connection to its economy with the power of its currency, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have talked about, like, inflation, and it's just like, if you're not, like, an economic major, it's like a lot of those things can go right over your head. It's just like, I have no idea what they're talking about.
I feel you.
And people talk about, like, the Federal Reserve and, like, the printing of money and inflation. And when you think about it, what that means is, like, if you've got $10 in your hand, right? You got 10 $1 bills, and they're each worth a dollar, and somebody prints $1,000. The $10 in your hand hasn't changed. It's all of a sudden like the value has gone down because now there's way more dollars in the system. And even though there's more money, the value's gone down. The power has been weakened. It's called like inflation, right? So when you look at this, it's just like, well, how did that happen? And and you look back, and it's like you got to look at the progression of the dollar, right? And if you look at a lot of times our dollars, we don't even realize it, but our dollars used to be connected to gold.
Mm-hmm.
Like Fort Knox, it was like a big safe. And if on the old dollars, we actually have a picture on a dollar bill, it used to say United States note. And what that meant was if you had $500, you could go to a bank or you could go to a safe or you can go to a vault and say, I want $500 worth of gold, right? But now they have actually removed that. It's called the gold standard. In 1971, there was a president, his name was Richard Nixon, and he removed that connection. And now if you were to look at a dollar bill, it says Federal Reserve note, which means that there's no connection to a dollar and basically a gold standard. And Wikipedia actually describes the gold standard as basically saying a monetary system in which the standard economic unit is based on a fixed quantity of gold. And it's like kind of terms, but it's like you got to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we're seeing like the printing of money and it's going through the roof and there's all these dollar bills and it's just like, okay, what that has caused is like the value has gone down. And you look at when the dollar was created about 100 years ago, there was actually a graph that I had found that shows the impact of this. And when you look at that initial explanation I gave as far as 10 bucks versus 1,000, the power went down, the value's gone down. And if you look at a dollar bill today in comparison to the power of what the dollar bill was when it was instituted 100 years ago, it's less than a penny.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a graph that you can see that goes literally from pretty much top left, and you can see it go all the way down. The more they've printed, the more printed.
My goodness.
It has worth a fraction of a power.
Wow.
Of what it was initially instituted. And you think about this. There's so much more money in the system. But the initial power, it's just not there. And it really causes me to think about it is the fact that America has left the gold standard. America has left the original institution, the original connection, the original idea of what the dollar was meant for. So taking that into consideration, it caused me to realize that that's what the church has done. We have left the gold standard of the gospel. We have left the original intent of the power of the gospel. And I recently shared in a recent segment about an encounter that Jesus had with a Pharisee and a sinful woman in Luke 7. And what had happened, I'm kind of paraphrasing the situation, but a religious man invites Jesus to his house. And he comes over and Jesus is there and they're dining together. And while Jesus is there at the same time, a sinful woman, that's how she's described in the Bible, she learns that Jesus is there, so she goes. Mm-hmm. She goes to Jesus. But the powerful thing is, though, is that Jesus was responding to the sinful woman, and she's weeping and falling at his feet, and she approaches Jesus from behind. And the Pharisee is basically saying, you know, if Jesus knew who this was, he was recognizing, the Pharisee was recognizing the sin mm-hmm. of this woman. And I really, the Holy Spirit just began to just show me, it's just like, these are two totally different lifestyles. One man, he basically had a life full of the gospel. He knew it, he memorized it, but he was so blind to the fact that when the word was sitting right next to him in his own house,
mm-hmm.
and the sinful woman was not. Like, she obviously lived a completely different lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But when she encountered and heard about the power of Jesus, she responded two totally different ways. And it just got me to thinking that there was basically an overwhelming presence of the word in one man's life that caused him to become familiar with the word. And in one woman's life, It just didn't exist until she first encountered it. And she knew the original intent of the power of the gospel, of the power of the word. And in this exchange, Jesus is responding to the religious man. He talks about a moneylender. And he says the forgiveness of debt, the forgiveness of who would love them more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit just began to just give me an awareness of just like a certain... When we talk about like a moneylender, you understand like a banker, a mortgage broker. I'm not talking like a president of Citibank or CEO of Bank of America. I'm talking, let's say, the head of the Bank of Creation. Okay?
Right.
And this is what we've done with the gospel. Imagine the head of the state of the Bank of Creation is walking through your business. He's walking down your neighborhood. He's walking in your home. And he has the ability, we've talked about before, to write a check for $1 trillion. He has the ability to endorse it, cash it, and say, I paid your debt. I paid the debt of the forgiveness of your sins. And we have said, I know Jesus saves. And then we've walked away. And it's, you look at all the nations right now in America, or you look at all the nations in the world right now, and America has the abundance of the gospel. Nowhere else do we have that ability to talk so freely about Jesus.
Amazing, isn't it?
We've talked about Northern Iraq and the Middle East and all throughout the persecution of the church that just simply saying the name of Jesus causes someone to be killed, causes someone to be persecuted in the most atrocious ways. But we have the familiarity because we can talk about Jesus so freely that we've become familiar to its power.
Mm-hmm.
We've become familiar to the original intent of the power of the gospel. And you look at that and you're like, okay, I can see that we've lost the gold standard. Okay, so what's the gold standard of the gospel? And the truth is, it is Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Yeah.
Getting back to that, understanding the original intent of the power.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be asking yourself, okay, well, I don't really see where we've lost it. It's just like, look at the book of Acts. Look at the church today. There's never been so much gospel in America than there is now. But we have a fraction of the power.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it and you ask yourself, okay, well, I understand. Okay, I see that connection. I see that we've lost the gold standard. Okay, how do we get back to that? Does Jesus say anything about gold?
It's funny you say that because I remember a quote somebody saying that there's two ministers walking past after, you know, I think it's two monks or two priests walking, and they say, you know, the church can no longer say silver and gold, we have none. And the other priest looks over and says, and nor can the church say now get up and walk, you know.
Wow.
And it goes along with what you're saying, the gold standard. What happened? What happened to the cross? What happened to the blood? What happened against preaching against sin? What happened about holiness? Where's the power of God? And it's like God it's not interested in our comfort. He's interested in our character. God's not interested in motivating us and inspiring us. He's wanting to lead us into truth, into revelation, into an obedient life, into a life that glorifies him. And so I think about Steve Hill. Give me some sugar. Give, you know, these sugar-coated lips, sugar-coated messages that have totally devalued, like you say, the true gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. And with that, like you said, it's like, all right, I see that awareness that we've left the original intent. We've left the gold standard. We recognize what the gold standard is. Like, okay, great. What do I do?
This is so good, Steve. Before we get back from this break, I want you to tell us, what do we do to get back to the gold standard? Join us.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You just really wouldn't think it's possible. I mean, how could this be? Why would anybody really want to harm us? Why would anybody want to reprogram the way we think? Why would anybody want to fundamentally transform our nation from its original founding fathers' intent as God, as our foundation? Why would anybody want to take over our children's lives? Well, the reason why is because they say a hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. When you train your children up in the way that you want them to go, That's how they'll go. God's called us to train our children in the way they should go. But let's just don't take our word for it. Let's look back at history and see what happened when they found out what Hitler was doing in the very same time with the church trying to de-Christianize a nation. And that's what's happening today in America. You're looking at in every corner, in every infeeding of news and media and presentation is to just remove God out of the public arena, to de-Christianize America. But it's just the sins of the past. Listen up.
In 2002, a Jewish law student uncovered a report from the Nuremberg trials in the 1940s. It was compiled by members of the OSS, an American spy agency in World War II. The report was called The Nazi Master Plan, The Persecution of the Christian Churches. And it laid out a step-by-step plan to de-Christianize Germany. Take over the churches from within, using party sympathizers. Discredit, jail, or kill Christian leaders. Re-indoctrinate the congregants. Give them a new faith in Germany's Third Reich.
So where were Germany's Christians in all of this? Most of them were too frightened to protest. But a small remnant of Christians did stand up against the Reich Church. A group of 3,000 Protestants, known as the Confessing Church, openly defied Hitler and paid the price.
Adolf Hitler said, "I'll make those damned parsons feel the power of the state in a way they'd never believed possible. If I ever have the slightest suspicion that they're getting dangerous, I will shoot the lot of them."
700 pastors from the Confessing Church were arrested. Many of them were murdered or sent to concentration camps.
There is such a thing as evil, and this man is evil. Hitler has no permanent loyalties. If you cross him, you'll die.
Understand that that is the ultimate goal of adversary Satan, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That actually happened. Removing the knowledge of the Jews and God's people from the land. Concentration camps. That was what the end result was. JJ, listen, we have to pay attention. Jews and Jesus, understand this. The church and the Jews won't end up well if we continue in this direction. De-Christianizing America? Well, we need to stand up like the Confessing Church did and say, no, no more. As for me and my house, as for me and my city, as for us and our nation, we will be one that acknowledges God.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. Steve,
how are you,
continue
sir?
To talk to us about the gold standard of the gospel and how we return to it.
Well, when we realize the fact, okay, hey, we've left the gold standard after realizing, okay, what it is. And
which is the cross, the blood.
The cross, the finished work of Jesus Christ. And it's like, okay, well, does Jesus say anything about gold? And it's, yes, he does. He says it very plainly in Revelation 3. He says, to the church of Laodicea, he says, "You say, I'm rich. I have acquired wealth and I don't need a thing. But you don't realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich and wear clothes and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see." And he says, to those whom I love, I rebuke. So be earnest and repent. And here I am, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him. And that's so significant because we don't connect that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says, you know, in other parts of that message, he's like, return to your first love.
Mm.
Return back to that original intent. And when we see that, when we connect it, we're going to see what we saw in the book of Acts.
Yeah. And it's time for us, like you're saying, to get back to this gold standard and to preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, preach all the letters in red. You know, it's the red letters. If you don't know those, what the red letters are. It's Jesus' words. And we don't have the luxury or the choice, rather, to pick and choose what we share. We need to preach the full counsel of God. Mm-hmm. And this is what we need. I mean, there's the reports, the sugar gospel and all these different things that are going out. Listen, there's only one gospel.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one. And Jesus Christ died for all of our sins. He died. And we have the choice either to accept him or to reject him. And it's his finished work on the cross. And to preach anything else, it's not a good idea. It's wrong. Because, you know, God didn't come so that we, you know, we can have a popularity contest and gather a whole bunch of folks and do all these type of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's always interested about the one sinner who repents. Mm-hmm. It's an individual choice. And we want to encourage you to do so and to get that right so that we can continue to, you know, keep the gold standard of the gospel and not water it down. Because that's the issue today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we're talking about Jesus, when he preached the gospel, he shared, right? Jesus was saying, listen, you had to make a commitment all the way. And we've shared before in a previous segment that God's not interested. He's not taking applications. He's taking commitments.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't make commitments to a watered-down message. You take commitments to the message that's true. Hey, leave everything behind. Dethrone yourself. Make me not just Savior, but make me the Lord, the Master, the King, the ruler of your life. I'm the new shot caller,
mm-hmm.
and I am the Lord.
Amen.
I am the King. And that's the gospel. That's what you need to respond to, and that you're not no longer in charge, and you're exchanging your ways for his ways, your thoughts for his thoughts. And you're saying, I'm pledging my allegiance to him, my loyalty to him, my life, my fortunes, my everything to him. And those are the type of commitments that we have to make, but we can't make those commitments until we preach that message.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't say, you know, okay, make up your mind. He let the rich young ruler go. You know, today the gospel mm-hmm. would have been like, well, you really don't have to sell all of your possessions, you know.
Right.
Sell 85%. Mm-hmm. It was your heart. Your heart was in the right place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So sell 85% and you'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
He said, sell all you got. Sell all your possessions. Because he understood that for him, that was his God.
Right.
That was his what he was worshiping.
Mm-hmm.
And when he went away sad, Jesus didn't say, hey, come back. I really didn't mean that. I mean, well, let me change. He didn't change his message. He changed his audience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to encourage you to do. Don't change your message. Don't change what Jesus told us to say and do, but change your audience. Not everyone is going to respond, but go to those who will. And we want to encourage you to do that more and more. Man, that was powerful. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, we want to continue to going to be sharing in today's program about, you know, don't worry about the nine, celebrate the one. Don't be so focused on the negative things that happen in your life, but, you know, enjoy and celebrate the good things that are happening, the things that are joyful and pleasing, because that's the tool of the enemy to distract mm-hmm. you and get you focused on, you know, the horrific things that are happening maybe, because, you know, life is like that. You're going to always have some really bad things happening in your life, and you're going to have some really good things happening in your life all at the same time. And if you're sidetracked by the bad things that happen, then you're going to be
mm-hmm.
totally missing, you know, your appreciation and your gratitude towards God. But before we get to that segment, you know, I saw something interesting that kind of reminded me of Pat. You know, Pat is my brother in the Lord. I've known him for several years, over a decade. I mean, wow, maybe 15 years. And I've got to know him pretty well. And something about Pat is that he does have some swag, if you know what that means. He does have... He rolls a certain way, and I saw this commercial,
mm-hmm.
Chris, Pat, Steve.
You got to get the names down. Should we wear name tags?
Well, I'm thinking about Chris, too.
Because, how old do you know him?
Here's the thing. Chris has his own swag as well. I mean, there was the Nike swoosh and all that type of stuff, and hopefully we can get some of those pictures.
You got brought into this one, Chris.
Yeah.
He got right brought in.
But when I saw this, it just reminded me of the swag that Pat, can you share with us a swagger wagon?
Yeah. Because you know, I think I've lost the footage. I don't know what happened to it.
We want to see the swagger wagon because we know how you roll.
Is that
and,
right?
Is that
wagon?
Check it out. Watch this.
Yeah, this one goes out to all you minivan families out there. Sienna SE in the house.
Where my mother father's at?
Where my kids at?
Where my kids at? Oh, 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 where my kids at?
No, seriously, honey, where are the kids?
They're right there, see?
Oh, cool beans.
I roll hard through the streets and the cul-de-sacs. Proud parent of an honor roll student, Jack. I got a swing in the front, a tree house in the back. My number one dad mug says, yeah, I'm the Mac.
I'm the world's best nurse when my kids get sick. I make a mean gel mold, I perfected my trick. Back when I used to party as a college chick, now I'm cruising to their play dates looking all slick.
In my swagger wagon, yeah, the swagger wagon, it's the swagger wagon. I got the pride in my ride in my swagger wagon, yeah, the swagger wagon, it's the swagger wagon.
Check it, I love hanging with my daughter, sipping tea, keep my pinky up. All the drawings on my fridge sport an A+. I'm an awesome parent,
right?
And it's apparent.
True.
And in this house there's no mother father swearing.
Straight owning bake sales with my cupcake skills. I'm better with the money, so I handle the bills. And I always buy in bulk, ain't afraid of no spills. Every Mother's Day proves I'm kind of a big deal. Bring the beat back, cause yo, I got more to say. You know I'm always front and center at the school play. I kiss their boo-boos, clean doggy doo-doos, cut the crust off of PB&Js, chill the yoo-hoos.
Singing Farmer in the Dell in perfect harmony. When I'm rolling with my posse in the HOV, we rock the SE, not an SUV. And it's true, if I were you, I'd be jealous of me. In the swagger wagon, yeah, the swagger wagon, it's the swagger wagon. I got the pride in my ride in my swagger wagon, yeah, the swagger wagon, it's the swagger wagon.
There you have it. It's the swagger wagon.
There you go.
You
can't much add to that.
Well, let me tell you, when I saw that, I said, Pat. I mean, because, you know, he likes the role. You see his vehicle. The guy has a definite swag to him, and I appreciate that about you.
You know,
I really do.
After seeing that, I think it's very easy to say that, Pat, you have got swagger, brother.
He has swag. He has swag. More. We get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
I mean, you can't be used now because you can't even talk. I mean, right?
Hey. Proof positive.
I mean, look at this. I mean, here are these Southerners on here. Yeah. I've never heard. I mean, John's obviously from the South.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Yeehaw.
It says, like, Ush de la Blue is Espanol. How does it sound country wise?
All I did was a dobo de chicken.
Yeah.
He's like, that sounded accurate.
No, I didn't see ever in my. Even though I did have some chicken this week, some chicken twice, three to four,
Whoa,
7 days.
Hey, chicken.
Yes, as Donna stood in line for me. We are getting to what we're going to cover today. We're going to be talking about Jerusalem and the unemployment rate that's and some different things happening. But
this line, yes,
she stood in this line. This little small. All you got to do is get down. This is all you have to do. Get you a chicken fryer, put you a building around it.
Oh my God.
And they will come. And the only thing, they got this place called down south. It's called Church's Chicken.
Oh, they have them everywhere. Oh, wow.
Church's Chicken. And in that, it's basically a small building around a grease fryer. And there's nowhere to hardly stand in there. There's just a little room for the jalapeno pepper, a little room for the corn, which they now have healthy butter on it. So it's just like, it's just an artifact. And she stood there for the longest time.
Really?
Longest time to get me. She probably didn't want to cook. No, no, she did. And believe it or not, I ordered some chicken livers, some fried chicken livers.
Did you really?
Did. Yes, I did. And, you know, I didn't eat. It was just like, they were not good. My mind started thinking, no, it wasn't. It was chicken ash.
Oh.
It was burnt too much. They just cook. Somebody's been under the law about chicken livers. Now you got to cook them until they're actually don't hurt you.
Oh.
So anyway, once she was there, you know, this is actually in the region that just got hit by this huge prophetic storm that happened, biblical proportions, as they're saying. She's talking to a lady, and the place is packed. Mm-hmm. So if they'll tell you a successful business, people think it's pizza. Down south, it is a big grease fryer. Mm. It's something that you can dip your chicken in flour and just throw it in there. And they'll line up all day long for biscuits and chicken. They being us. And
well, you and John, anyway.
You got to double dip it. You used to. We got pitchers.
Not anymore.
We got pitchers.
The
chicken man.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos. And
are you sure?
Back from the break. I'm sure. I'm positive.
What is your name again?
John Ramos.
Mm-hmm. Nice to meet you, John.
Hey, nice. You are?
Chris. That's Chris.
That's Chris. Hey, Chris. Steve Kalaszewski. Say hello to us, Steve.
How are you?
How are you? I'm doing good. Good day. And Pat Hamilton. Listen, we have, I mean, if you missed the Swagger Wagon, I want to let you know that we have it available.
You need to catch that.
For you on the torch.
That's a must.
Because Pat has some swag.
Yes, he does. Very cool.
That's who I thought about when I saw that. I want to make sure that
but
you
I do have more hair than
connect.
That guy.
Yeah, you do. Yes, you do. We want to talk about celebrating the one and not getting so focused on the nine. And where that came from is that, you know, in Luke 17, we find that there was 10 lepers who had some serious situation. They had leprosy, and they were basically quarantined. When you have leprosy, this is a disease that eats away at your skin. I mean, it's horrible. Right. They still have lepers today in certain areas, of my understanding, and it's contagious. And basically in verse 11, 17 verse 11 says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And they screamed this, you know. And when he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. There's a lot today. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that. And one of them went, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Think about this. I mean, here are these guys. They have leprosy. They can't, you know, they're just hanging out with each other because that's all they have. They have this disease. And Jesus, they cry out for the Lord to heal them. And Jesus doesn't say, be healed. He says, go show yourself to the priests. Interesting. Go show yourself to the priests. And so the Bible tells us, think about it. I mean, this is the equivalent of you being sick, dog sick, flu. You know, flus are pretty bad, you know. Flus are pretty bad. Flu.
Leprosy and flu.
Leprosy. Let me see. You know. Well, it's almost like the purse thing, but you know. We won't mention
I don't know
that.
What he's talking about. You have a point.
I have a point. I have a point.
He's trying to keep that
man
guard.
So you're hurt, right? You're sick. You're in the bed. You're just awful, you know. Mm-hmm. I've been there before, and you just can't peel yourself out. But it's almost like someone telling you, get out of bed. Get out of bed. And go to work, you know, get out of bed and just go. And so instead they were told not to go to work, but go see the priest because at that time, you know, part of what they needed to do to show that they were ceremonial clean was that they needed to go to the priest and the priest would give them some instruction on what they needed to do before they can enter the camp. Well, Jesus was telling them go show themselves to the priest, but healed people show themselves to the priest. They weren't healed. So what did they need to do? They needed to act upon faith. I mean, it was already done. He didn't even have to say, go, be healed. He just said, just go. Just,
right.
just
go. It was their act of faith that caused it.
Absolutely. So they start walking, and then in this process, they become healed. But one of them comes back.
Only one.
Yeah. And says, wait a second, I'm healed. And he goes back to thank Jesus. And it's just so important. The Lord says, wasn't there 10 of you guys? Wasn't he 10?
Yeah.
And the guy says, well, you know, I'm paraphrasing. I'm here. Mm-hmm. You know, wasn't there 10 of you guys healed? And he says, you know, I'm here. Then he said, look, he says, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except the foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well.
Wow.
And the thing about it is that, you know, Jesus didn't sweat the 9. You know, he didn't say, what is this? I healed all 10 of you guys and only one of you came back. He said, oh, it's all good. It's all good. And he rewarded and he praised the Samaritan, the foreigner. Think about it. The foreigner recognized. And I think about the gentleman from Sri Lanka who told me he's new to this country. And he says, I feel like I'm a more American than some people that have, you know.
Actually born here.
Yeah, lineage for years and decades in here. And I feel more American. And here this Samaritan says, man, I got to go back and praise God and go back and tell Jesus what happened. And it got me to thinking about how so many times, you know, there's all type of situations happening around in your life. And maybe people that you know, as you continue to grow in life and you have more relationships, you're not just aware of some of the, and if you're in ministry, not some of the things that are going on in your own life, but then you're aware of the things that are going on in other people's lives and things that are not going well and that they need God for, and you're standing in the gap and praying for them. So there are things that you're carrying in your own heart, in your own life, in your own family, and there are things that you're carrying that going on in other people's lives and in other people's families. And if you're not careful, you'll start looking at some of the things that are happening in this world. You'll start looking at some of the things that are happening, you know, in your life and the lives of others, and you'll get caught up in the negative. You'll get caught up in the bad situation, and you'll fail to recognize that there's something good right in front of your face. Jesus did not spend more than a second acknowledging the fact that there was 9 other people that didn't come back and celebrate the fact that they were healed. He didn't waste more than a second. He focused on the one and said, hey, it was your faith that healed you. Rise.
Right.
Hey, go on, my man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Go on, live and be merry. And that's what we need to do. We need to follow the Lord's example that, you know, oftentimes people add their misery on an adding machine, but they count God's blessing on their hand, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be the other way around. We should be counting God's blessing on our adding machine and looking for ways to celebrate and to point out and to have a heart of gratitude towards the things that God has done for you, not the things that may have not happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that just because your situation hasn't changed doesn't mean God fell asleep or God didn't hear your screaming or your begging or your crying or no. Everything that happens in your life is Father-filtered. God allowed it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, there is a purpose for it all. And the Bible tells us that even what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn for good. And so I want to encourage all of us to not be distracted by those things that try to pull us away. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes me think, just thinking about that whole encounter, is that the one man's gratitude, he had the fullness of that joy and that healing that the other 9 could have just continued to walk in that when we focus on that healing, when we focus on, like you're saying, the one thing in front of us.
Being grateful,
it far outweighs the little things that we tend to elevate and we think it's so important or we get focused on, well, this isn't, well, that isn't, well, this didn't. And it's just like when we focus on what God did, what God has done, how God has moved in our lives, you're like, well, all those things really don't matter.
Yeah.
Because of this, because of what God has already done. And it's just like the one outweighs the 9.
Yeah. You think about in Luke 15, you know, there's three parables that come to mind, you know, that are actually in there.
Mm-hmm.
One about, you know, the shepherd has 100 sheep, but he loses the one. He's going after that one. He's focused on the one. He's not sidetracked on the multitude. It's always about the one. The woman who lost that one coin. She's sweeping up and looking all over the place, but she's excited to find the one coin. And then you go on to hear about the man that had two sons, and he loses the one son, and he's happy and he's rejoiced that the one son comes back. Listen, even the Bible says that heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents and turns to God. And we just got to be appreciative for that, because as I just think about what's happening in the world, and you just survey different lands, and I've had the opportunity to meet different people and hear their stories and see what they went through. When I heard that, you know, a man didn't have electricity in his home until he was 19 years. His parents didn't have electricity. He didn't have electricity in his home until he was 19. He left his home early.
Mm-hmm.
But it was until he was 27 that his parents had electricity in their home.
Oh, wow.
He had electricity in his home before his parents did. And he started talking to me about the poverty in this nation. And he said, listen, when people's economy raises up, for many years, my parents didn't have electricity. But now when the country is developing and prosperity is coming, guess what? They have a power bill now. And their life is being consumed with making sure that they can pay a power bill.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Things that we take for granted. And so it's like, wow, a lot of things that we have that maybe could be problematic in our life, is it because we've overstuffed our life with things and trappings? It's like, man, I have another, what's your problem? Man, my Maserati won't work again. It's like, is that a problem? Is that, you know what I'm saying?
Really?
My jet skis are down again, you know, it's like, it helps us to refocus and have a perspective on the things that do matter. And I look at a time, you know, my kids like to laugh at me because I like this show.
That's easy to do.
Well, I like this show. Remember the Waltons? I like that show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, Dad, who lives like that anymore? I said, listen, there was a time where things were so much more simpler and so much easier, and where people just really enjoyed each other and respected each other, and there was a high value in being able to have interpersonal communication and really genuinely finding out, hey, how are you doing today?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we can return back to that day where we don't have all the trappings and all the things that go wrong and all our devices that break down and ruin our whole mood. We can say, listen, I'm going to celebrate. There's beautiful sun out. I'm going to celebrate the flowers in the air. I'm going to celebrate that I have life, that I'm not in a hospital, that I have five fingers on each hand and five toes on each feet, and that I can breathe and not be sidetracked by the negative things. God is good. He has blessed us. And I'm going to enjoy today, and I'm not going to worry about tomorrow, because, hey, tomorrow can handle itself. All I'm interested in is dealing with today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.